This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, the other day, someone posted a message in our forums linking to an article which actually has a lot of interesting meaning to it. And that is whether we would recognize E.T. if we saw E.T. Okay? Because, you know, right now our conception of what E.T. is fueled by what we see on TV, what we see in the movies, what we read about in science fiction, about UFO sightings where we see sometimes human-like beings, gray aliens, whatever. Some of the science fiction movies paint E.T. as being very, very bizarre. But one example I mentioned every so often is the one from the movie Contact, where Jodie Foster sees what is presumed to be E.T. appearing in the form of her late dad, because that creature tells her she couldn't accept his or its real appearance. Does that kind of put a damper on the thought of human-like E.T.s out there? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think it's anthropomorphic of us to think that intelligent life out in the universe is going to look anything like us. I don't know. I think it's wishful thinking on our part to have that kind of reality view that everything has to look like us, that we are the boilerplate for life. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, the thing is also, consider evolution. I understand there are people who don't believe in evolution. Some of them have been elected to government to run our country. But, okay, no more politics. Understand that now. We're talking about science. Now, imagine where we are today. Now, imagine some kind of intelligent race that's been around for maybe a billion years or so. What would they look like? Even if they started out being humanoid. And now a billion years later, they're still around somehow. What would they look like? Would they even have a physical appearance that we would recognize? Would they even be physical creatures? Could we even imagine what they'd look like a billion years from now? So, as I said, even if they started out where we are, even if we are the blueprint, that doesn't tell us what humans would look like a million years from now, 100,000 years from now. I know science fiction stories kind of guess, would we all be robotic-type creatures in the future? We just download our intelligence from physical form to physical form, and the physical form would be something designed for efficiency. And I couldn't presume what that would be. So therefore, when we see human-like beings in connection with UFOs, and we imagine these are space creatures hundreds or thousands or millions of years ahead of us, isn't that also something that has got to be a little suspicious?
Well, yeah. At least a little.
Well, the thing also about scientific developments, and I did a newsletter about this. We actually have a Paracast newsletter. I don't know if our listeners know this. But when you go to our site, theparacast.com, or our forums at forum.theparacast.com, I have a link up there for this weekly newsletter. And usually it's me ranting about something. And the other week I ranted about something and I didn't get much of a reaction, so probably it was a lousy idea. And that is, would we even recognize a spacecraft that's representative of a race thousands of years ahead of us? I mean, right now, when we think of inventions of the future, we think of Star Trek or Star Wars. We think of things that are logical extensions of what we have now. So we think of traveling through space physically. They invented warp drive, so in Star Trek, you didn't have to spend 6 months, 6 years, or 600 years going to a planet. Warp drive would let you go there in an hour or a day or something like that. That was what that was about. It was a vehicle, although science is looking into that. And then, of course, we have machines like replicators to give us food on spaceships. We have 3D printers. That inspired us, by the way, to build things like that, or cell phones, or tablets, or things like that. But would we recognize a technology that's thousands of years ahead of us? Would it look like anything we could even understand? Forget about whether we can understand the appearance of space people. Could we understand the evidence of their technology? I mean, if you took your 747 and landed it somewhere in the 14th century, would they recognize it for what it was?
Pretty doubtful.
But this is the point I'm making. I like that Chris is just being agreeable today, but he's still recovering from that lung ailment that he had a couple of weeks back. It set him in the hospital. So I'm not asking him to do very much. You know, he'll just be coming in here. He'll be a cheerleader when we need cheerleaders. And speaking of being cheerleaders, we'd like you to cheer for our second radio show called After the Paracast. And what it's about, it's something that you get if you sign up and join the Paracast Plus. It's a second radio show. And the difference between that radio show and this one is it's uncensored and it's open-ended. It can be about anything. Like last week, for example, because we have coming up on March 13th, the 20th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, I invited someone who was, I guess, the main evangelist for that particular case.
Good word. Appropriate.
I call her a breathless evangelist because you can't get a word in edgewise. I mean, she starts talking, and you have to really find little holes and places where you can add a comment. That's Dr. Lynn Kitai. I mean, she's a very nice woman, although she got a little bit testy when I brought up some articles in Phoenix New Times that disputed the reality of the Phoenix Lights. But the key is here, I think there's nobody on this planet who is more eager to tell us the story. I also thought for a moment there, and like I said, she's a very nice woman. I thought, imagine how it was when she was a practicing physician. You go in there and you get a physical or something. I don't know what her specialty was, whether she was a general practice or what. I think she told me a long time ago, and I've forgotten. That's the sign of old age. Can you imagine, Chris, you go in there, and she spends about 2 hours talking to you?
Well, yeah, I've talked to her. Maybe not for 2 hours, but we've had her on the show a number of times, and, you know, I've interviewed her at the first Open Minds version of the UFO Congress, and I talked to her quite at length and interviewed her. She is very gung-ho and you know, I think kind of endearing in her naivete. She pretty much has blinders on, I think, when it comes to the subject, and she's kind of a one-subject pony in that regard. And I think that she's really read way more into her personal experience than may be warranted. And you got to admire her enthusiasm.
She's certainly loyal. I'll tell you, she's sure loyal. But the example I was making there is this is an example of the things you don't expect from After the Paracast as part of the Paracast Plus. And to get more information about it, how to sign up and subscribe, go to plus, plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Subscriptions start at just $1.49 a week, which is about the price of a mid-sized coffee at the Circle K convenience store and about half what you pay for Starbucks. You want to give up the coffee and sign up. We give you a commercial-free version of this show, by the way. Coming up in our next segment here, after we sort of get him ready, is Joshua P. Warren. And that's going to be fascinating. So we'll have that coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years, survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping, and it's been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free, just cover $9.95 shipping. Go to freefood2.com right now. Supplies are limited, and the program may end at any time. Go to freefood2.com now. That's freefood2.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent pending technology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week, we are joined by paranormal researcher Joshua Warren, who's been on the Paracast before. And in a few moments, he'll talk to you about a course that he's going to be teaching, and we're going to ask whether he sort of got sucked into that or something he originated and what's going to mean and what it might mean for our listeners if they sign up. But I was talking to Chris about something in our introductory session, maybe you want to pick up on something I was thinking about here. And that is, you know, when we're talking about UFOs and strange beings seen occasionally in connection with sightings, whether we would ever even recognize E.T. as being something that would be from another planet or anything we could even recognize. What's your take on that? I mean, we think of, you know, space people being kind of a variation of us.
Are you asking me or Chris?
I asked Chris already. He's already had his turn. This is yours. You're trying to duck this.
You. That version of it is for you.
Oh, well, first off, thank you very much for having me on the program. It's just a delight to be back with you. And you know what? I think that is a wonderful question because we are so egocentric that we tend to look at anything we don't understand and try to reduce it down to human terms and human perspectives. I think you're absolutely right. There's no way that we can truly comprehend what life is in general, much less how life might sort of materialize in some other environment far away in space. In fact, I think it's really interesting to look at the most strict, materialistic, atheistic, rationalistic scientists out there, or rational scientists, if you want to call them that, guys who don't believe in anything except what they can look at under a microscope and measure and put in a test tube, and they have these huge budgets, they have giant telescopes, they're looking out there as deeply as far as they can into this infinite blackness, and they're telling us that we don't see anything else like Earth that has people running around on it. Therefore, they have to admit that even from their own standards, the most paranormal thing in the universe is life itself. Therefore, we have to understand that what's happening here is a very strange, unique thing by anybody's standards. And so finding the equivalent of that out there would take forms that we just can't imagine.
The point being here is we're looking for humans or something similar. Even then, if we find a planet that has hospitable surface conditions for life as we know it, at least as far as we can determine from our vantage point, we wouldn't necessarily see them scurrying around.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're always looking at creatures and trying to turn them into humans. You know, we do that here on our own planet. It's obviously a funny and comical thing that we often do, take a dog and put a little remote control mouth on it and make it look like it's speaking like a human. We're always trying to humanize things, but that's just because that we understandably need to put things in terms that we can relate to. But when you start actually looking at the animal kingdom in detail, it's so weird. I mean, I wrote a book called Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from Beyond the Grave. And frankly, I don't even like that title. That was not my original title. The publisher gave it that title because, you know, they hear pet and they think that, well, I can apply this more to my dog or my cat. But the reason I didn't care for the title is because it was much more than just pets. I talked about people having encounters with ghosts of dinosaurs, ghosts of insects. Point being, when I was writing that book, I dug deeply into the animal kingdom in general. All of these just bizarro manifestations of life. And you start looking at things like amoebas and you say, you know, this is a creature that it doesn't have a brain per se. It doesn't have eyeballs. And yet it seems to exhibit some kind of intelligence. I mean, it prefers certain kinds of water. It's able to sort of hunt for and capture food. You look at this thin sack that's just full of water, and you ask yourself, where is the life in this thing? You know, what is animating this blob and making this thing somehow transform from an inanimate object into some kind of a consciousness here. I mean, it's so weird. I imagine that when we are talking about things in outer space, you've got to realize if we can't comprehend some of the stuff that we're seeing here on Earth and understand how it's filled with life, we don't have a very good chance at all of understanding these things beyond.
Well, I was also suggesting here, and I want to get back to whether we'd recognize the space people for who and what they were, whether we'd even recognize their technology. Because our vision of technology in science fiction, Star Trek, Star Wars, is always an extension of what we have now. Oh, a couple hundred years from now, it's going to be like this, or it's going to be like that. And maybe we're right to some degree. But what about 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another example of what we're talking about. In fact, that's one of the big sort of scientific conundrums out there. I mean, there are a lot of issues regarding why we haven't found the aliens, so to speak. It's a paradox within, you know, the research community. If we have all of these planets and stars and galaxies, then statistically speaking, there ought to be some other intelligent life out there. And yet the mainstream scientists are telling us that, well, we haven't discovered it. But if you consider time and you think of how vast that time is in terms of these numbers you hear, you know, the universe, like the Big Bang was something like 13.8 billion years ago. Well, we can't even imagine what that is. And so is it possible that it's just so unlikely for these civilizations to coexist at the same time, that maybe somewhere out there, there has been a civilization that's just as advanced or more advanced than we are. But the problem is that it's possible once a civilization reaches a certain point of development, that civilization is destined to self-destruct. And we don't know if that's the case. We're certainly finding out, I think, pretty quickly that that is a good possibility. You know, when you come up with the toys that are capable of destroying your planet, eventually somebody's gonna hit the button. So it may be that, yeah, the odds of our civilization happening to develop and advance at the same time and rate as another, so that the two can, you know, connect, maybe that is just statistically very unlikely as well. So on one hand, you deal with that if you're looking at this from a critical perspective. And then on the other hand, you have the exact opposite, which is this perspective that maybe they're everywhere. The aliens are all around us every day, and we just don't even recognize them, or we don't see them for one reason or another. And yet then you have people who say, well, by God, I was abducted last night. You know, one of these things took me out of my bed. So
let's stop right there and do our break. We're surrounded by these announcements now. Joshua Warren with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it.
You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're surrounding ourselves with all sorts of strange things. So the point that Joshua Warren was saying there is that perhaps we are already surrounded by AT, but we don't recognize them. But as you were talking, something occurred to me, Joshua, and that is we have a planet here billions of years old. Civilizations may have a finite life. You know, maybe we destroy ourselves and we're gone. And a billion years later, maybe another civilization arises and they self-destruct or they evolve into some other plane of existence. Whatever it is, why even think we are the first so-called advanced civilization here on Earth?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it all goes back to that understandable egocentric point of view. I mean, you have people out there, and I know we've all heard this a million times, who say, if there are aliens flying around out there and they're flying saucers, why don't they just land on the White House lawn and show themselves to everybody? And that's their big profound argument for why the, you know, aliens aren't flying around here. And I always say to those folks, you know, when I go on a hike through the woods, I'm not rattling the bushes and trying to prove to every squirrel and rabbit that humans exist. I don't care if they know that humans exist. As a matter of fact, I might be doing just the opposite. trying to not intrude and be quiet because maybe I want to observe them. So, again, it's very arrogant for us to think that if there is some other form of life out there, especially advanced enough to operate the way that these other beings may operate, if you believe these stories that we hear, then, yeah, why would we be so condescending and arrogant and feel so self-important that we would think that they would actually want to sit down and speak with us on equal terms? You know, when it comes to people who have a more extreme view of this, people who literally say, well, look, the aliens are among us, and some of them are shape-shifting reptilians that are actually eating people. And they say, do you believe that's possible? And they ask me this question. I say, you know, I bet you there's not one single cow on planet Earth that knows people eat cows. And so if we are being fed upon by something, whether it's a physical predator or it's some kind of an energetic predator or what some would call a spiritual predator, these are all areas we can explore more. Why, again, should we be so arrogant to think that we would be aware of that? So, you know, look, I'm open to all this. The smartest cosmologists and astrophysicists in the world are saying we're looking out there in the universe and 95%+ of everything we can observe is dark matter or dark energy, which is defined by the very fact that we have no idea what it is. So if you're going to tell me that you don't know what 95% of all this is, you may as well just say we don't know.
Well, that's always true. Science wants to say, well, we've got about 95% of everything now. We've got most of it. We've got all the basic conditions of the universe pretty well down pat. And they've been saying this now for how many decades? As long as I've been around. When we thought that there were canals on Mars, when we were talking about people living on Venus and our science fiction stories and everything, you know, science knew about all that stuff. Nine planets, not that one is really a dwarf planet, and now there's an undiscovered ninth planet that might be larger than we have ever imagined, something that we captured in our solar system. That's a recent story. And what it shows us here is that we don't know anything.
Well, that's right, especially when you consider that, again, what we know, it's sort of like you don't know what you don't know. You know, it's one of those logical conundrums. And it's funny because, look, I am a firm believer that the scientific method is the best we've got. As you know, soon I'm going to be teaching some online classes, and that's one of the things that I'm going to dig into. But I can see very clearly all the weaknesses of the scientific method. And that is because, well, I'll give you two reasons for that. For one thing, we have this great confidence and the measurements that we get with all of these instruments that we create. But the problem is, every single one of these instruments, no matter how sophisticated it may be, is envisioned by a human, designed by a human, built by a human, calibrated by a human, used by a human, interpreted by a human. You cannot remove the subjective human element from all of this instrumentation. That's one issue. Second issue is, there are things that absolutely affect our lives and affect reality which cannot be scientifically documented. I cannot scientifically prove to you what I dreamed last night. It was a real experience that I had, but I can't prove to you what it was. I can't scientifically prove that I love somebody. I can't scientifically prove what I experience when I taste chocolate versus what you experience when you taste chocolate. And if you apply this in a more, shall we say, fundamental and an impactful way, most of what we call human history has been recorded in an unscientific way. It's been recorded by word of mouth. I mean, we didn't have, you know, cameras and video recorders and all this sort of stuff hundreds of years ago, and yet we have thousands of years of human history. Most of that has been based upon what people have written down and what people have passed along through oral tradition. That is not scientific, and yet we accept most of it. So again, the point is, the scientific method is great, but let's be honest about the weaknesses.
And remember, when we look at history, we look at the interpretation by the victors, the ones who survived.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to also think about, yeah, who is the messenger here and what sort of motivation that person or group had to pass along a certain perspective or a certain point of view.
Exactly. And it's also true with religious texts. We have various changes in those texts over the years. Which version of the Bible do you think is the correct one? Why were those changes made? What was removed that you don't know about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, it's so funny to me that there are people out there who say, "Eh, look, I don't know if I believe in ghosts and UFOs and all this weird stuff." And then they turn around and they go to church and they read the Bible and they pray to God, and they don't realize that the most paranormal thing that most people are exposed to in their lives is religion. I mean, all religions seem to be based upon some kind of faith. And the reason that you need faith is because there's not sufficient evidence. That's why faith is necessary. So what people are believing in is something that's of a spiritual nature. You know, for the most part, they're believing in a realm where there are other beings that exist, or a place where the human spirit goes after death, or they're believing in miracles, or they're sitting down and they're praying, having this telepathic connection with some greater intelligence. And so there's a great irony here that we live in a society that talks about the paranormal, which literally means beyond normal, and yet it's very normal to find a church on, you know, every other street in this country, especially. And that's because that we're surrounded by paranormal thinking all the time. But when people are used to it, ironically, it's not as paranormal as they actually believe it is.
Well, I think it's the thought that paranormal means something that is perceived to be unreal. Whereas if you have, as they say, the church or the synagogue or the mosque on every other block, and they preach a certain variation of religion, we accept that as a normal thing. This is normal. This is not paranormal, even though it's something that you can't really necessarily see or touch, although you might feel something. We've got more to come with Joshua Warren, and it turns out we're kind of exploring the frontiers of reality. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features. And most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we focus on the frontiers of reality. In a couple of minutes, we're going to ask Joshua how he got snookered into giving an online course. I won't let them do that. Oh, by the way, I want to mention something that's interesting, too. My son Grayson is a teacher in Madrid, Spain. He teaches students how to speak English, Spanish-speaking students how to speak English. And for his eighth grade class, as far as the course materials are concerned, he used an episode of the Paracast. All right? I'm serious. This is an episode a year or two back.
Which one?
Pardon?
Which episode?
I gave him a couple of choices for him to listen to. And he picked something involving UFO abductions because it involves a contact with a supposed extraterrestrial being. And I said, well, to get the most sensible look, consider Kathleen Martin. Of course, we all know her as Betty Hill's niece, and of course she heads up abduction investigators for MUFON. So that's one of the episodes I suggested to him. But he sent me a photo of, I guess it looks like a blackboard of some kind, where they mention my name, I guess your name, and the Paracast. So we're famous in Spain, and one of his students is some kind of royal figure in Spain. So we're being heard in high circles, I suppose. So that's as close as I come to a course of this nature. We'll get to yours, Joshua, in a moment.
Before we went to break, we were talking about the power of belief and the kind of the disconnect that exists within the culture. You'll have scientists who are hard-boiled, objective realists who leave all that at the door when they go to church every Sunday, was the example that Joshua gave of people buying into the paranormal and then denying the reality of the paranormal. And that's why I prefer the church of the subgenius. You know, all hail Bob. There are no beliefs in that particular church. All you do is look for eternal slack, which I think is severely retarded and is missing in our modern day culture. I think we need more slack.
Well, how do you define slack in that sense?
Well, I didn't want to digress that much, but slack is You know, whatever floats your boat, relaxes you and allows you the leeway to do what needs to be done in a manner and in a timetable that I guess is best suited for your convenience.
Well, I suppose religion could be a slack. It's a way for everyone to get together, a community feeling. You share something. You could relax and listen. And after it's done, maybe people get together and have a coffee and a Danish or something and associate with other people. So is that slack?
No, I think slack is more esoteric than that. I think it has more it's a higher vibrational thing. Slack is not quite as high vibration as bliss, but it's definitely more than enthusiasm. Because to have slack, you have to sort of give up certain expectations and be okay with it.
You know, it's interesting about religious effects and things, and I go back to something that happened years and years ago, and I was working at a radio station in a little town called Piedmont, Alabama, WPID, which I think still exists. It doesn't carry this show. We'll try to work on it. It's a small town, like 5,000-6,000 people. And every Sunday, we would have different local churches coming in to do an hour show. And the first thing, of course, they had to pay the station. We didn't even trust the preacher. They had to give us the money in cash first before they do their session. And there was an organization called Chapman's Chapel. I remember that. And my first wife, Geneva, was sitting next to me in the studio. And in the next room, we have this group of people beginning their sermon. And they start very softly, so I turn up the levels. And they get louder and louder as you turn down the levels, not to overmodulate and distort. And soon they're speaking in tongues, one or two of them. Now that kind of
makes
me a little
for great
freaky.
Radio.
Pardon?
Makes for great radio.
Well, just remember here, we're talking about a nice Jewish guy from Brooklyn, New York, new to the South. My wife being a woman who grew up in a Methodist family in Alabama, and we're sitting there, and they're talking of the sinners, and they're looking right at us. First thing, that's enough to be paranoid about. And then they start speaking in tongues, and, you know, I heard of this, of course. I didn't know what to think or what to do when I heard it. Because to me it was like gibberish, or maybe an alien speaking or something like that. And it went on for a few moments, and they finished, and they left, and they never came back. Following
you know, there is a term for that. It's called glossolalia.
Okay.
You learn something every day, Gene.
I know that, and this was, you know, something that is probably fairly common in a lot of the churches, but I didn't expect to hear it go out over the air, and I wondered what the FCC would think.
Yeah, it's more of a Pentecostal thing, I think.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I don't think it's very. Did they bring in basket loads of snakes as well and start handling snakes while their eyes were rolled in their head and they were slobbering with their glossolalia sessions? No snake handling.
No snake handling. No snakes. No strange creatures. No nothing. It was just a small number of people with their Bibles. That was it. Maybe some prepared notes. But now that I mentioned it, somebody's going to look up Chapman's Chapel and see if there is still such a place in Piedmont, Alabama. But the key here is, that certainly I thought an extreme measure. But, you know, that takes us back to our whole vision of what our reality is and what our interactions were. And it's part of organized religion that at some point in the past, a lot of organized religion, that we interacted with God or God's associates, henchmen, whatever, in the past, and we honor that. And, of course, that forms the basis of things like the ancient astronaut theory that these creatures that we interacted with, hey, guess what? They were really space people. What's your take about that, Joshua?
Well, you know, I actually do think that you know, if we were visited by beings from other planets in the past, they obviously would have been interpreted as gods. And, you know, you just can't deny when you go back and you look at some of these carvings and you look at some of these ancient texts and you read some of the descriptions in, like, for example, the ancient Hindu texts, not to mention the more familiar stuff like we have in the Bible. It really does sound like an ancient person's description of the things that we nowadays would attribute to UFOs and alien. So, you know, to me, whatever this phenomenon is, it is something that has always been around. Frankly, my gut tells me, whatever that's worth, that that we actually were visited as a planet by some other physical beings somewhere in the neighborhood of, 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, you know, something like that. That's a wide range, but still, you know, there's this period of time where all of these religions sort of started popping up around the planet, and they all said essentially the same thing. They all said, there's a group of beings that came from the sky, and they came down and gave us some information, and then they all left, but not before saying, we're going to be coming back in the future. And that's one thing all these quote-unquote, you know, ancient religions tend to have in common. Maybe not all of them, but most of them, I can say, especially those that stemmed from the Middle East and Africa, certainly in Central and South America. But, you know, you can find examples of this around the world. And so, you know, it makes sense to me that at that time there was some kind of an interaction. Now, we might think, well, gosh, it's been thousands of years. Apparently, they're not coming back en masse like they were before, so maybe they're never coming back.
Or maybe they fulfilled their purpose, or maybe they decided they just don't like us. After all the interference, they just didn't like us so much. Let's stop it here and pick up on the other side with Joshua Warren and Jean and Chris. You're in
the Bearcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.